About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria.
Hi, I'm Greg Jackson. This is my wife, Polly Jackson. And we have been members of Quest for roughly 6 years now. And when Andrea approached us to talk about how God is present in our lives, we were very enthusiastic because we've just had such a great experience coming to Quest and really helping us find our faith. For me in particular, getting involved in a lot of missional outreach has been just a thrill of a lifetime. To be able to do things like the back to school bash and to experience Ding Dong Ditch and just have those opportunities to go out and be the feet and hands and feet of Christ in the community is really what I take great joy in.
And when I think about when we 5 years ago joined a small group, it was really empowering because we were at a stage where we were going to be empty nesters and there was a small group dedicated to discussing marriage topics. And 5 years later, we are so blessed to have those people in our lives and we've celebrated joys and shared tears. And I just feel like they're our God family supporting us through day-to-day life.
Go to sleep, my son. This manger for your bed. You have a long road before you. Rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your glory? Do you understand the price? Or does the Father guard your heart for now so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dream. This world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in my arms tonight. Lord, I ask that He for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. And baby, close your eyes. Soon enough, you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, Jesus, sleep tight.
Hi, I'm Mary Nanny, and I have been coming to West for the past 4 years. I was introduced to West through my son, Moose, who everybody really probably knows by that name. I became really close to West when Don became sick. That was my husband. I had lost some of my faith. I really had faith, but I didn't take it seriously as I do now. And I think it was mainly because that I was too busy in my life to search for something else. But when Don got sick, which was the worst thing that ever happened to me, I realized I needed something else. And when he passed away, I thought, well, how is it going to be for me to be alone? How am I going to take care of myself? But I remember telling Andrea one day when she visited Don that I wanted to be involved. So I became involved in West, and it was medicine to me. It's Christmas time, and I think over the last 4 years, the biggest gift that I ever got is the faith has grown bigger and bigger. And I can see all these things without taking it for granted. I have two wonderful sons, two wonderful daughter-in-laws that are like my daughters, and I have four grandchildren and about to be a great-grandma one of these days soon. A lot has changed in my life. My faith has grown each and every day, and I know that each day is a gift, and I want to thank everybody for that. I find that there are no worries. There are no worries at this stage of the game, because my belief in God is great, and I believe He's looking after me. But I do, in a little bit, wonder what is next. I don't worry about what is next, because I know that next is going to be beautiful, and I am at peace with that.
So you heard two stories from the Jacksons and from Mary Nanny talking about how their faith grew. I imagine we're talking about basic Christmas, and the word basic in today's vernacular just means mainstream. So if someone says to you, you're so basic, it means that you fit in to the mainstream, that you are culturally relevant. And I've asked us to ponder, how can we make Christmas maybe not so basic, maybe not so much about the lights and the presents and the Starbucks coffee cups and all those things that define Christmas. Maybe how we can look in our lives and try to find ourselves in the Christmas story so that we can redefine it. And Greg and Polly and Mary were so gracious to share their story. The thing that I found was most interesting is both, and without my prompting, talked about how their faith went from here to here. I've had the privilege of being in a small group, actually, with both of those families, and that's not why you were reined in to do this, but over the past semester, we've been doing this book by Richard Rohr called Falling Upward, and it talks about our lives and that we have two halves of our life, and they're not chronological, they're spiritual. We have this first half of our life, and it's built around our ego, and I don't mean ego like I think I'm hot stuff. I mean ego like our human need to take care of ourselves, to be happy, to have what we need and what we want. That's ego. That's the first half of life. And Rohr writes about and talks about how that we experience some kind of game changer in our lives, and it moves us, if we will allow it to, it moves us from the first half of life to the second. And it's in that second half of life that we find our faith is growing, and it's less about us, and it's more about being connected to the divine, which we define as love. A few weeks ago, when we were studying one of the chapters in the book, we were talking about the things that worry us. And I hope you have the privilege of getting to know Mary Nanny. She is a part of the leadership of our backpack mission, so she's always here and collecting food and that kind of thing. But I think if there are saints, she's one. She tells it like it is. She minces no words, but she speaks from her soul. One night we were sitting there in our circle, and we were talking about the things that worry us and the things that we get caught up on and hung up on. And those are all ego things. Those are all first half of life things. And then Mary spoke. Her words were a game changer for me. And I hope they'll be a game changer for you too. She said, "You know what? I'm not really worried about anything." And like you heard on the testimony, when her husband died, yeah, she had some anxiety and some worries. How was she going to be alone? She said that was the worst thing she had ever experienced in her entire life, losing her life partner. She had amazing friends and amazing family and an amazing church community and church family that loved her through it. So now she is here 4 years later, and she said, "I know I'm in the last chapter. I know this is the last chapter for me. And I'm not worried. I wonder what's next." And I find myself wondering sometimes. But I don't worry. There's no more beautiful message of the Christmas season than that. As the angel choir withdrew into the heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child, and all who heard them were moved. Greg and Polly shared about a time in their life where they were facing transition. Empty nest is a real thing, and they were facing this new reality. And they found themselves, you know, feeling sort of lost and wondering what would be next. And so just like the shepherds, they took some action. They ran and joined a community, a small group, and it's been a game changer for them. And in that, and through their missional involvement, through focusing on people beyond themselves, by using resources that God has given them to make a difference in somebody else's life, they share that their life has been changed. It took action on their part. So think about it. You're in the middle of your job. It's just a normal day. And all of a sudden, like, this person appears in your midst. And you know, we have no idea really what angels look like. We know that they're messengers from God. But just think about, you're in your job, your day-to-day job, and somebody appears in your life and they start telling you that there's something bigger than ego and pride. There's something bigger than worrying about whether or not we're going to make enough money or get that promotion or that raise, or whether we're not going to be able to successfully battle that illness that we're facing or a relationship ending. Whether any of those things are, however they consume us, you find someone standing in your midst in the middle of your workplace, just like the shepherds did, and they're saying to you, "Hey, there's something bigger. And it's here for you. It's here today. And that something bigger is a message of universal love and hope and joy and peace. They had to move. They did not get to just stay hanging out in the fields with their sheep. It required action on their part. Literally, they could have had no clue what in the world was going down in the field that night. But something nudged them deep within to believe it, to listen, and to go. I love this translation. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can. Let's see for ourselves what God has revealed. And they left, running. Are we running from, or are we running to today? Because there is a gift that's a game changer. It transforms us in all of our being. And I promise, if we'll claim that gift, if we'll run to it and accept it, the love that came in that tiny Christ child, if we'll grasp it and hold on to it, it helps us endure what we feel like are the worst things. Mary Nanny has rewritten my phrase that I stole from Adam Hamilton, who also stole from somebody else. The phrase, the worst things are never the last things. She added another line. The worst things are never the last things. And the last things are the best things. The worst, I want you to remember this. The worst things are never the last things. But the last things, they are the best things. If we'll claim that gift of hope and love and joy and peace that comes at Christmas. Let us pray. Gracious God, that gift of the Christ child is a game changer. It changes everything. We get so caught up in the busyness and the craziness of the Christmas season that it's cliche, but we forget what it's all about. Until we find ourselves in a place in life that hope seems really far away. God, reveal to each of us you. Show us you. Move in us so that we can feel you and see you. May we see angels in our midst, and may we know that you bring a hope and a love and a life that springs eternal through that tiny little baby in a manger so many years ago. Show us you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Like a bad penny, I just show up. So, one of the lyrics in the song Joseph's Lullaby talked about whether or not Father God would guard Jesus' heart. And of course, we know that God guards our hearts, not just Jesus' heart, but God guards our hearts as well. So that regardless of where we find ourselves in the Christmas story, whether it's being full of hope and joy and anticipation or being full of fear, God guards our hearts. May God guard yours, and may you feel it in the days ahead as we get ready to celebrate Christmas. And now I invite you to go outside, wrap Ding Dong Ditch Christmas presents, visit the Ugandan market, and eat at Kickback Jack's on Wednesday night to support the Back to School Bash. That's the mission we do in the fall. If you're new to West, we serve over 1,500 students. They get free tennis shoes, backpacks, school supplies. It's a nonprofit within itself, but a Wednesday night's our night. So I want to see you there. Let's go wrap presents. Go in peace. Amen.